Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The Dan Bernstein Show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
An all-star as a rookie last year, and he takes strike two.
Michael fell off again. I mean, this time he might have hurt himself.
Uh-oh. Yep. He's not even going to throw a pitch.
That's so frustrating. And you can see he's having an enchanted season. He is one of the mainstays in this rotation. He gets two guys out, and he has to leave the ball game.
It sounds like he thinks he's okay. They initially said knee. There were also reports of ankle. Whatever it is somewhere is okay enough. I know James Feegan of The Athletic had some stuff yesterday from Kopech saying they checked him out and he may just have to miss a couple days. We're still waiting to hear about Grandal, about really what the significance is there. And it's hard to keep track of everything. Lance Lynn is pitching tonight. Is that right? Lance Lynn is back. But I got to tell you, man, give it up for Johnny Cueto. Give that dude, like, what do you want? You pull that guy off a couch, and he comes out there and is just throwing innings for you, saving your damn ass at the major league level. Give it up for that guy. Think about where you'd be without him, without the innings. Take away his innings, and it hasn't been perfect, but Cueto's been a warrior for this team, very quietly. He's helped keep you in things. If you come back and win this, you're four out in the loss column right now. I know you're in third place right now. And three back a second. There's 100 games left. And Johnny Cueto deserves a big pat on the back and whatever cold beer you want to buy and whatever he wants. I've got a couple things I want to reset on before we get into some of the sound here. First of all, I have been in contact with some highly placed sources regarding the editing of the replay of the Thursday game that was shown on NBC Sports Chicago. And I've read some of the reporting about it, and I will say this. The optics are awful. It looks like Soviet censorship. From what I understand, it is simply a case of bad luck, bad timing, and maybe a bad decision by somebody not affiliated with the White Sox or not affiliated directly with Chicago. That I'm told that the decision was made above the Chicago market, that that production decision is hubbed in New Jersey. The game went 4:13. The replay had to be fit in a 3-hour window. They had to cut an hour and 13 minutes from the broadcast. That's why they look to trim long stoppages. And I am assured that there was no skullduggery involved. I am assured that this is just a case of really bad timing, creating these really bad optics. And I trust the people involved to tell me the truth on this. So It looked awful, it felt awful, and it felt like they were trying to keep us from something that was, I am assured by people who would know that that was not the case. And I think it's important that that gets said in the interest of truth and fairness. Now, let's look at some hard numbers here before we move on. FanGraphs uses their own projection metrics to project where the, based on current performance and projected future performance, where teams are going to end up. The White Sox are currently 27-31. They've got a run differential of negative 56. They score 3.91 runs per game. They allow 4.88. Those are the facts. The Fangraphs projected remainder of the season for the White Sox, not so bad. In the remaining 104 games, they are projected to be 54-50 with a positive run differential of 17, averaging 4.42 runs and allowing 4.25. Where does that leave them? 81-81 is where it leaves them. 81-81 with a run differential of negative 39. That's Fangraphs. Baseball Prospectus uses the Pecota standings. And at the moment, those Pecota projections that involve a Monte Carlo simulation, where I think every day they play the season in the computer a million times, and then they take the averages and likelihoods of that. They have the White Sox with 82.6 wins and 79.4 losses. And they have the Twins at 86.3 and 75.7. With Cleveland just about a half a game, about a full game behind the White Sox. That's where they have them. With a playoff percentage now for the Sox at 39.2. A 39.2% chance of making the playoffs. Just want to have those hard numbers for you before we get into what happened over this whole weekend. And when the crowd is booing, that's one thing. When the crowd, you can hear grumbling. You can hear harumphing and moaning and some of that. The crowd chanting fire, Tony, was a thing.
Fire, Tony!
That's a thing. That is, and I thought I heard it, and I did hear it, and then the phone videos started popping up on Twitter, the eyewitness reports on Twitter, and I know both of you have in the last few days been to the ballpark and have been able to feel some of this stuff. There's the introductions, too, and the way people react to how every name is said. And there is a clear dissatisfaction, but that's above and beyond. Chanting fire Tony in that park. Everybody can hear it, and he can hear it. They can all hear it. Matt Foster takes that long breath, too. Let it breathe a little bit, whether he meant to or not. And then I'm thinking, all right, I've been there as a reporter. I was on the field at Soldier Field when people were doing the same thing, chanting, Wonstedt sucks, Wonstedt sucks. And I knew that it was my responsibility after the game to say, Dave, how did you feel hearing what the fans were chanting? And he threw it right back. Hey, well, what were they saying? And I said, they were saying Wonstedt sucks. And he said, well, they just want to win. Same kind of answer. But you got to ask about it. And it was Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune that decided he was going to be the one to ask Tony La Russa about it.
When you say Sox fans, they were very upset. They were booing you, chanting. Do you understand?
Well, I hear it with one ear and I see with one eye. Yeah, so I just know, I appreciate that they want us to win, and when we don't win, they're unhappy. I'm pleased that they are, you know. We have the team with what we have to win, and we're losing games. There's nobody in the clubhouse, including manager and coaches, that are happy. So I like it when they care enough to be upset.
As a manager, you kind of anticipate that the scrutiny is going to come toward you when the team isn't.
Yeah, well, you know. I said before, you know, I learn you're accountable for everything, right? During anything that's happening with this team that in the end, I'm not responsible for. So, and you figure that out, you know, whatever, if you don't like the record, responsible that you're wrong, you don't like moves, whatever it is, never have dodged accountability. I won't start now.
It's a good answer. It's a good answer. That's how you handle it. Part of the job comes with it. He hears it with one ear, he sees it with one eye, sort of like his occasional driving habits. After the game on NBC Sports Chicago, Ozzie Guillen responded to that response.
That's a very smart answer. That's a very straight up answer. Mm-hmm. Yes, you care about it. Yes, because I'm the one in charge of the ball club. What I want to criticize fans to feel the way they feel. Believe me, I was there. And I know how that feel when the people, by the way, 2005 we win the World Series, 2006 we play good, 2007 they're like, get us out of here. I don't blame them. I don't blame them because they feel the same way I was feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get fired, but I'm feeling like, wow, we're not playing good enough to, I deserve to be in this particular seat.
Yes.
And I don't blame the fans.
That stayed with you for a while when they would do that.
Believe me, that hurt. Mm-hmm. Because I think people, wow, people forgot that quick. We just did this. People forgot they love me and purged me like, I love you guys. And that quick, yeah, but that's part of the game. That's part of what the fans are about it. Fans want to have results. Mm-hmm. And right now, the results is not the one we like.
Solid. And that's real stuff from Ozzie about how it feels. You know what, though? He came back for this, man. Tony La Russa didn't have to do this. He didn't have to do it. He chose to do this. And if this is what he wants, it was a good question that was this asked on Twitter about his legacy as a Hall of Famer baseball person. And what this does to what your top of mind, when somebody brings up, from here on in, when somebody brings up Tony La Russa, what is the average baseball person as generations continue to die off? What's the memory of him really going to be? What's going to be first and foremost? Is it going to be Dave Stewart and Bob Welch and the Bash Brothers? Is it going to be the Cardinals? It's going to be this. Do you know what kind of reputation you have to survive this kind of turn, this kind of negative aspect to the end of a career? Is this what you want? Is this how you want to go out? You want to be... You know, people still talk about Willie Mays falling all over the outfield. People talk about... I remember when my mom said she had to go see Frank Sinatra on his last tour. Had to. Just had to. And knew he couldn't really sing anymore, but she said he was forgetting the words. And he had the big teleprompter out there so you could remember the words to all these classic songs. And I always tell the story about being loaded into the car to go down to the Airy Crown Theater when I was a kid and told to dress up and put on a coat and tie because we were going to see My Fair Lady because Rex Harrison was back playing Henry Higgins. And I said, you will be able to say that you saw Henry Higgins on stage live. You could see Rex Harrison, as Henry Higgins on stage live. And I said, fine, I'll go and I'll put this stupid tie on and we'll go and we'll have a stupid play. And he was terrible. And he couldn't remember the words to the songs. And he literally was saying, line, line. And I'm like, really? Thanks. Thanks for this. And I'm like dead sitting there with his head in his hands. Like, oh, God. But that's what you remember. That's what I remember. We'll bring up the great, then the only, most people only know Rex Harrison because that's the voice of Stewie on Family Guy that Seth MacFarlane's impersonating. That Seth MacFarlane is doing a Rex Harrison impersonation. That's Stewie on Family Guy. You probably didn't know that, but I knew that because that's a very famous stage accent. And all I remember is his inability to remember his lines. At some point, as a proud Hall of Famer baseball, first thing out of his mouth when the flashing lights are behind him, first thing, Hall of Famer baseball person. Does his legacy mean nothing to him? Because he's still doing this. Like, what is this? Like, Jordan could survive it because Jordan was Jordan, and it was a little different, and it was still going out on the, taking the warrior off on his own shield. It's different for a player.
It's different when you show you just, I can't do it anymore. Oh, I'm going to go out like this on one leg and scream it at everybody and pump fake at everybody. You'll have to drag me off the field. It's different than being out of the game for a decade and then having not even know how to put your pants on the right way.
This feels almost closer to the, to me, it's an awful image because it's one of my favorite non-bull ever. The Patrick Ewing in a Magic jersey backing down Hakeem Olajuwon in a Raptors jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Because Hakeem, outside of Jordan, Hakeem's the one for me.
I can't say I would even remember that. What an image.
It is jarring. Yeah, if you look up Olajuwon Raptors, like it's the first or second image that'll pop up is Patrick Ewing with the ball in the post in an Orlando Magic jersey backing down Hakeem in a Raptors jersey.
I wonder what La Russa's own legacy means to him and if he knows the damage that this is doing to it. The damage to how he's remembered as a baseball person in his words. But I don't know what we don't know what matters, and we guess about what matters, and we read the tea leaves about what matters wherever Jerry Reinsdorf may be. I want to play a couple of things here. Sunday Night Baseball, Buster Olney, said essentially what I've been told and what I've been saying is that only one person matters in this.
Part of the reason why Tony La Russa is the manager now is because Jerry felt bad about firing him almost 40 years ago. So the front office might have a view, fans might have a view, social media might have a view. Nobody's view matters other than Jerry Reinsdorf's.
Correct. So this morning, John Heyman, Odyssey MLB insider, was on with Mully and Haw and gave his thoughts on why we're here and what the future may hold.
You know, he is the most loyal owner in sports, one of the most loyal business owners of any type we've ever seen. And on some level, you need to give him credit for that. But, you know, I do think at some point he's going to have to consider whether to change the manager. You know, obviously the team is underperforming like just about no other team. I mean, I would said the Phillies were right there with them, but they changed managers, as we know. And now the Phillies are on the right track. Notwithstanding yesterday's game, they're playing much, much better. The White Sox are playing horribly, and the strategies really are nonsensical at times. So I do think, and I think a lot of people think, as we heard from the crowd, it's really time to consider changing the manager. And we're not going to consider Jerry disloyal if he does it. We understand that he always thought that his greatest regret was firing La Russa, and I get that. Became a Hall of Fame manager, arguably the best manager over the last probably 40, 50 years. But at this point, this has not worked.
That's all of it right there. That's the truth, and that's the helplessness of it. And, Rick, you were saying you were at the game yesterday, correct? And you
Saturday.
Were, Saturday. That the even before any of this happened, this is Saturday. The introductions Saturday gave us an indication of feelings.
Yeah, there were definitely audible boos at that point. It wasn't near as loud as it was in the 10th inning or anything like that, but when they're going down the lineup and get to and manager Tony La Russa, then you're hearing boos. Anytime he go out to the mound, even if it was like a logical move and whatever, there's boos there. So, and it's not just an isolated person whose voice carries or anything like that. It is a group of people that are booing him every time he steps out of the dugout.
And this isn't blind faith either from White Sox fans. I was at the game on Thursday and I saw at the field, the intentional walk, the leaving Dylan Cease in, whatever, all of that. You know, typically White Sox fans react to what we react to is we see something, we put out an opinion, they react to opinions of those who have opinions, who have like a platform, right? And what I'm saying there is you hear Steve Stone, you hear Jason Benetti, you hear reactions from sports radio stations. And the White Sox fans, you know, some of them it's easy to jump onto that. At the game, it is happening in real time. Sox fans aren't stupid. They know what they're watching, and especially at the ballpark. In my experience at that time, everybody in my section around me were reacting. Why is Dylan Cease still on the mound? I was alerted to the intentional walk. They said, did they just intentional walk Trey Turner with two walks or two strikes on him. So Sox fans are very, very aware of what's happening. This isn't blind hate.
When we come back, we need to get into some of the data on this pitching staff, what they're doing, what they're not doing. I was calling out Johnny Cueto for being an unsung hero. There's another one. There is another White Sox pitching unsung hero who is saving their ass, helping to keep them in games in all kinds of different roles this year. And I think you're going to be surprised when I give you the numbers on a pitcher who has pitched in 23 games so far, second only to Liam Hendricks. He's got an earned run average of 376 and a team best fielder independent pitching of 2.19. You'll be shocked to know who that is when we come back on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
There's a couple of things to look at, but the one major thing, guys, is that this team is playing a long way from smart baseball. And that's something, if you're not going to score consistent runs, if you're not going to pummel the opposition, you better at certain times outthink them, and that has not been the case with this team.
Go White Sox.
Yeah, they're dumb. They're dumb. They do dumb stuff. How many fly balls in the outfield are near collisions? How often does that have to happen? Just there's so many examples of so many of these self-imposed headwinds that they have. It's just you don't have to look far for things that continue to bother you about everything that goes on. So I mentioned before that there's another unsung hero. How about Ronaldo Lopez? How about this punching bag who's been here forever? Ronaldo Lopez has an ERA of 3.76. and fielder independent pitching of 2.19. He's already got a WAR of 0.7, which is the third best on the White Sox pitching staff. He is the third most valuable pitcher on the White Sox this year. Dylan Cease at 1.5, Michael Kopech at 1.3, Ronaldo Lopez at 0.7. More valuable than Liam Hendricks at 0.6. More valuable than Lucas Giolito at 0.4. Just think about that for a sec when we're talking about injuries and everything else. What he's done, what Ronaldo Lopez has done in 23 appearances. He's not walking anybody. Ronaldo Lopez's walk rate is at 5.6%. You start looking at his numbers and Johnny Cueto, man, that's what's just so improbable of Cueto mattering this much. Mattering this much with his ERA of 3.53, fielder independent pitching of 3.87. In fact, you already had to get rid of Dallas Keuchel. Is he still in AAA, by the way? Still trying to work his way back? And everything he went through with Vince Velasquez and all these other guys. Your third most valuable pitcher is Ronaldo Lopez. Meanwhile, what's going on with Lucas Giolito's fastball? Can someone tell me why he's at 92? He's at 93, because the difference that you get there, and we saw that the Rangers realized it. The Rangers started to understand that you could sit change and cover 92. You didn't have to gear up and sell out for 96, 97. That's a 92. You can slap a bat on that if you have to while waiting to drive the change somewhere. And they did. And that was the difference. So first let's hear from Giolito. Giolito was on with Cody Decker on Hit and Run yesterday. And this is specifically his take on what's going on with his fastball.
I'm definitely not like getting behind my fastball the way I should. So it makes it a little bit harder to command, and it's not like zipping out as well as it should be. So we'll probably have some drills and things for that. And then kind of on like the pitching side, getting with Ethan, getting with the catchers, figuring out like, okay, am I getting into any certain patterns? I've definitely been using the slider a lot more. So, you know, do we kind of stay on that? Do we, you know, start to change up sequencing, locations, you know, all of it?
I hope they're not already trying to change sequencing and locations based on whatever this fastball is. Because now you're chasing. Because that's bad money after good. Or good money after bad, excuse me. I transpose that. I think the best thing you can do, fix the fastball. If there's no physical reason for that velocity drop, because this merits a bit more scrutiny. And thankfully, Mike Rankin has already done some of that research.
Yeah, this is interesting. And I've always said Giolito's success starts with the location and the effectiveness of his fastball because it opens up the rest of his arsenal. We talk about the changeup being one of the best changeups in Major League Baseball. That's not there without the fastball. And that's really the story to me this season. Now, we talk about the actual tangible evidence as to why maybe the fastball is not having as much success as we've seen it across Giolito's career. Let's just look real quick, thanks to Baseball Savant, at spin rate, RPMs. The average Major League Baseball for a starter in the fastball range, total RPMs, is around 2,300. So that's the league average. And that's sort of skewed because you have relievers who just throw it off the charts. But in terms of a starting pitcher, right, that's right around where you want to see it. Giolito last season had an RPM spin rate on his fastball at 2,300, 2,345 to be exact. This season, 2,154.
Wow.
So right there, there's a tell. But also, you talk about the effectiveness of his changeup. He's given up in total across, you know, let's include the changeup on top of his fastball and his and his slider. He's given up double the amount of barrels that he did last season. Early sample size, but this is just based on percentages. He has gone up from 6.7% barrel to 12.5% barrel allowed. Wow. So that means just hitters are ready for it, and they're seeing it better, and that's likely because the changeup isn't as deceptive as a result of the fastball that hasn't had as much effectiveness.
You're not going to be as far out in front if you don't feel that you have to get that bat started to catch the extra velocity. That's what it comes down to. That you can think changeup first and then adjust backward to at least foul it off.
And simple numbers, Dan, real quick. 2011. Hey, Tony La Russa. 2021, the changeup was getting hit at a 218 clip. This year, the changeup is getting hit at a 271 clip. So that matters. I mean, that's just batting average, basic as it gets. And you talk about even as well, you want just the simplified numbers of things. His whip's at 1.4. Last season, his whip was 1.1. So he's walking more guys, and he's also getting hit harder.
Boy, those spin rate drops, 2345 on the fastball to 2154, 200, that is not insignificant.
Yeah, right. It's definitely notable, and it's also very well below league average on his fastball, a pitch that he developed, he worked on. I wonder how much, honestly, Dan, how much the sticky substance helped him.
I hate to say Josh Donaldson was right, because it kills me Josh Donaldson was right.
Think about it, because the timeline does make sense. We saw the ban. We saw the RPMs drop a little bit around that time frame last year. It hasn't necessarily gone up. Now, there are ways to fix it, but it is pretty telling. I think there is some legitimate reason here to at least figure out why Giolito's having the struggles he has this season.
I just hope that the home plate umpire made a point of checking that guy Barlow on the Rangers. Are they still doing the checks? Are you seeing it at the games?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, of them coming off belt, hat, the whole thing.
Yeah, not quite the hand massage while staring into somebody's eyes, but you know.
Creepy, creepy, creepy. Because Barlow, is that his name? Is it Joe Barlow? Is that his? He kept, and my son pointed this out to me because I really didn't notice it. And he's like, Dad, he's using. I said, what do you mean he's using? He said, look. I said, look at his hat. Look at where he's going to it every time. And the same dark spot. So we were debating, can you have a dark spot that develops on your hat on a warm day, if you're just using rosin and dirt and you happen to take your hat off and put on just a natural habitual placement of a dirty rosin stained thumb or forefinger, is that okay? But when there is excess on there, if you keep touching it, is that viewed as giving yourself a place where you're putting something? I don't know where one starts and the other begins. I'm not sure how they decide that.
Yeah, with umpires, I think that's to their discretion. If it's egregious enough, they're going to call them out. But it's funny that you mentioned that because pitchers have tendencies, and it's absolutely noticeable when, okay, they get the ball back, they'll lick their fingers, they'll wipe it off, then they'll touch the back of their hat. Mm-hmm. Maybe something's going on with the top of the back of their hat, just unknowingly, right? They're sure. Putting so much...
Or something in their flow.
Or they're doing it intentionally, but playing it off as if it's an accident.
Right. That was... basically what Gaylord Perry did forever was he went through a series of ticks, a series of things to sort of say, oh, well, he's not really doing it because he's just pretending he's doing it. No, he's really doing it. And he kind of did that to sort of throw you off, and it became part of the bit. Before we do the midday midway, one more cut from Lucas Giolito, who was really good because he and Cody Decker have a great relationship. They're friends from Santa Monica, from home. And this is... It's just about 80 seconds of Giolito talking about the situation this team is in. And just like I asked Ian Happ, and just like another well-spoken pro has to talk about how they stay focused amid all of this, this is what he said.
Honestly, it's just kind of putting the blinders on and separating. You know, for me, like at the end of the day, we're going through a tough time, but you know, baseball's not everything. I think a huge thing is being able to kind of, all right, had a rough day, go home, you know, call my wife, you know, kind of get away from it, reset, come back the next day. I think there's a lot of that is very necessary, because if you just think about it all the time and stress over, you know, struggles, whether it be individual or team struggles, you're just going to like work yourself into the ground, and not necessarily in a good way. You know, overanalyzing, overthinking, panicking, those kind of things that you need to avoid when you're not playing your best. So it's just being able to separate. And then, you know, when we come to the field, it's like a fresh day every day, and the goal is to win that day. And so that's all we can really control. I know that, you know, like I said, I'm not going through the best stretch right now. A couple other guys on the team not going through the best stretch right now. But there's a lot of season left, and we just got to take it one day at a time here. Kind of put the blinders on and ignore the rest.
Good luck. I wish fans could do that. Players have the luxury of being able to do that, and we can't. We have to watch everything. For the Midday Midway, I've got positive medical news, because we need things to smile about. Also, a new product. We'll say thumbs up, thumbs down on a famous combination of two very, very well-known brands that have decided to co-brand and produce something pre-made for you together. I think it's going to be a hit, and I think that the packaging looks fantastic. That's next on The Score.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
We've reached the Midday Midway on this Monday. We had a conversation with Ian Happ. Just started out by lamenting our lot in life as White Sox fans and how depressing this all is. We broke down the not just the booing of Tony La Russa, the booing of the White Sox, the chanting for Tony La Russa to be fired, how he reacted, what Ozzie Guillen said about that. We got granular when it came to some pitching analysis with the spin on Lucas Giolito's slower fastball and the difference and or lack thereof with the changeup that's making a negative difference for him. Also, don't sleep on what Johnny Cueto and Reynaldo Lopez have been forced to do for this team right here and just how quickly they've been taken for granted, keeping your head above water with Lance Lynn coming back today. I also want to mention that over the weekend there were some deservedly negative headlines for NBC Sports Chicago editing out the controversial intentional walk from the replay of the game. And I passed along the information that I received when I've been told by people who know some high-ranking sources involved, that it was not a local decision in any way, not local to either the White Sox or to NBC Sports locally. The decision was made to cut 4 hours and 13 minutes down to 3 hours, in part by taking that out by a production team that's based out of New Jersey. The optics are awful. It is completely understandable why we reacted the way we did. But there was not any sort of evil attempt at censorship or trying to alter history on the part of either NBC Sports Chicago or the White Sox themselves. Coca-Cola is teaming up with Jack Daniels, and we've got Jack and Coke in a can. The can looks awesome. It's a black can. At the top has got your white Jack Daniels Old Number 7 brand Tennessee whiskey, and underneath the red script Coca-Cola. It's only 5% alcohol per volume, so I mean, it's not exactly my drink, first of all, generally. It was the old the Terry Bores Friday Who Needs To Tavern Tour special, Jack and Diet. And you'd know he'd have somebody out there driving him, and by the time we got to the fifth hour of the show, things will get fun on Fridays. It's all good. Now, I didn't realize this. This is the fourth new alcoholic drink in the Coke portfolio in less than 2 years, but the first actual pairing for Coca-Cola itself, because Coca-Cola has partnered with Molson Coors, I didn't know this, on Topo Chico Hard Seltzer. I haven't had that.
There were some people at the game drinking those, I think.
I like saying Topo Chico because it allows me to do an Ed Sullivan impersonation and no one understands why I'm doing the Ed Sullivan impersonation, and that's because of...
You're old.
Was it a monkey or a chimp? Topo Gigio. Or is it a mouse? It's a mouse, right?
Not sure.
I think Topo Gigio is a cartoon mouse. So I hear Topo Chico and I have to say it like Ed Sullivan. Pretty sure, I think it was like a marionette mouse designed by some Italian puppeteer.
Boy, this
I've
is
never
a thing.
Seen this before.
Topo Gigio for the Ed Sullivan show? Nothing? Really? So first I give you the Stewie is Rex Harrison, and now...
I didn't know. This, I feel like I'm too young for.
To understand. Well, I never saw it. I just knew the reference. Okay. There was a restaurant here for years, Topo Gigio. Right, but so I can't see Topo Chico without saying that. And Simply Spiked Lemonade is also Coca-Cola, and they work with Constellation Brands on Fresca mixed cocktails. But now you've got it. You want a can of Jack and Coke? When the cart comes by and you're out golfing, the beverage cart comes up, you don't have to mix it yourself. It's already there for you. Good news for those of us that drink plenty of coffee. And I always pledge, because I tell you when there's horrible news about things that we eat killing us. The newest study in the Annals of Internal Medicine analyzed coffee consumption habits of more than 170,000 people in the United Kingdom ages 37 to 73 and followed them for an average of 7 years. This is what you call a major broad-based longitudinal study. Those who drink between 1.5 to 3.5 cups of coffee per day were 16 to 21% less likely to die from anything, all cause cancer-related, cardiovascular disease-related mortality during the study period than non-coffee drinkers. and they adjusted for other aspects of lifestyle. And yes, this is correlation, but this becomes a pretty powerful correlation here. It can be decaffeinated coffee, or it can be regular coffee. And I just add this to the list. Reduction in the risk of Parkinson's, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, prostate cancer, melanoma, depression and suicide, cirrhosis of the liver, and liver cancer. And now, if you drink that much coffee, I'd say 3.5 cups is probably like 1.5 normal cups for those of us who drink. If a pot is 12, and I drink a third of a pot... Okay, so that's a minimum of 4.
You're going to live forever.
Yeah? Well, no. Probably not. I don't want to. Unless I can come back and manage the White Sox when I'm 112. But this is great. This is good. You certain things you just know in your heart are good. Certain things, and I don't know if the studies can explain it, but I know. Coffee, garlic, olive oil, a little bit of red wine... There are just certain things that you know are good.
This, I should have seen this coming because I tend to like things that are not healthy for me, and I don't like coffee.
It's also just how bad for you those energy drinks are.
Oh, you mean the ones that I throw down every morning?
I know. They don't have the compounds that coffee has. That gives you like all of the bad and none of the protective stuff. And apparently it doesn't matter what kind. If you're drinking the cheap coffee like I'm drinking, or if you're going to Foxtrot and drinking Ian Happ's wonderful Connect Roaster stuff. Like, I have a cup of good coffee now, and I do say stuff like, oh, yeah, like that really does make a difference. And then I think, why don't I get better coffee? And then I look at the price differences, and I can't. Like this morning, for example, I didn't know because my kids don't tell me that we were out of our regular coffee, so I had to make a bunch of Keurigs. I had like this good Colombian Keurig thing in the back of the pantry. It was so much better. And both kids are like, Dad, duh, it's better. Why don't you drink better coffee every day? It's a simple way for you to improve your life. And I've taken that under advisement. It happened the other week when we were driving Zoe either to or from. And of all places, I stopped at a Meijer gas station. It's like at the front of a Meijer store and like yep. The big plaza thing somewhere in Ohio. And they had whatever their cold brew brand was. It was so good. And I'm sure they subcontracted from somebody else. But it was like, it was really good.
Pair that with a 7-Eleven donut and you're set.
Yes, a 7-Eleven apple fritter.
Yeah, the Tellerico Martin stuff.
One of the best apple fritters around.
Yes.
Anyway, that is a hack. The quality of Chicago area 7-Eleven donuts is a hack. So if you see that apple fritter behind the little plexiglass in a 7-Eleven, get it. You will not be disappointed. So there's that too. And that is the Midday Midway. There's your good news for the day. And we'll continue to lament our lot in life as White Sox folks and hear from some more people involved in everything that's going on. I think just listening to some of what's said, of how it's said, we got to figure out what's going on with Kopech and just understand where we are in general. And Lance Lynn's starting tonight. Like, here we go. And they had cease warming yesterday. I don't know how this...
I think La Russa said that was just with the change in their schedule. That was just to have, like, a side.
Okay, because there was something that Kopech said after the game that surprised me a little bit, that merits a little investigation. And we need to see also the move that they're making. You think the fact that they called up Sebi Zavala to replace Grandal for now may actually be interpreted as a positive.
I think so.
Okay, we'll explain why that is next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.